If you got a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with us once again to the Old Testament, the book of Psalm, Psalm 119. We've come to the 161st verse of this Psalter in which it was written there, which I've termed this Psalm, Letters for Living, as we see the acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet laid out for us in each stanza of 8 verses each. And we've come to this next to the last stanza, Shin. Shin, the Hebrew letter Shin, beginning in the 161st verse of Psalm 119. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, start living. I believe there comes a point in a time in our lives in which we need to start living for the Lord. Amen? Need to start living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Need to start living a life that God is pleased with. I believe whenever somebody gets saved, that should initially be the point in time in which they start living for the Lord. But we find just as the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and wandering for some time, some 40 years, I believe there are some folks that are saved, but there's a time and a period in their life in which they're wandering. They're not walking as close to the Lord as which they should be or could be. And we find here that I believe within this text that we have before us this morning some truths that should help us to start living for the Lord God Almighty. Let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of God's most perfect, most precious, most pure, holy Word. The Bible says there in verse 161, Psalm 119, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of Thy Word. I rejoice at Thy Word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but Thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept Thy precepts and Thy testimonies, for all my ways are before Thee." And you may be seated this morning. I believe as we look at this psalm, we've learned many truths as to what the psalmist was going through. And we can line those things up with our life. We find that he went through times of joy, went through times of celebration, went through times in which that he was able to praise God, went through times in which he was able to shout the victory, went through times in which that he was just overwhelmed with God's presence. And he praised Him openly. But you know what? As we look at this Psalter and we see the longer that it goes, we find that he begins to emphasize more and more upon the hardships in which he's encountered in his life. I believe that's the same with you and I as Christians. I believe that we ought to enjoy the victory. I believe we ought to enjoy the times in which God has privileged us to be in His presence. But I believe that the longer we walk with the Lord, the more that we see that we're not a part of this world, the more that we see that our ambitions and our appetites and our attitude toward God does not line up with the way the world looks at the Holy Father, at the Blessed Trinity. And we find that as we live in this world, the longer we dwell, the longer we're here, the more we see that there's things that are against us, things that we do not line up with. I believe the psalmist had those same thoughts. I believe that his emphasis here in this last section, as he proceeds to close up this Psalter, I believe he wants those that are of like mind with him, those that know Jehovah God Almighty, the Lord, I believe that his desire is that they would start living for the Lord. I believe that as we look at this, I believe that we see that he wants us to start living, first of all, in a land of distress. A land of distress. I believe that if we've ever lived in a day in which there's distress, it's this day in which we're living, the year 2010, in the United States of America. Read this morning, or saw there on Fox News this morning, in which that 30% of Americans do not hold any type of faith. Do not hold any type of faith or belief that there is a God. Now, my friend, I'll tell you what, that's a far cry from what the percentage was whenever this country was founded, I believe. I believe we're living in a day and time in which our land is under distress. I believe that we're living in a land in which people feel like that there's harm on every corner. There's somebody that's opposing them and that is against them everywhere they turn. Look at what the Bible says in verse 161. The Bible says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." For no reason, for no right, for nothing to gain upon themselves. The Bible says there that there are those that term themselves as princes that are persecuting others without any reason and without any cause. Now the princes in which we see here speaks of rulers. It speaks of leaders. It speaks of chiefs. It speaks of officials. Now, as we look at this and we read this, we might look upon those that are out here amongst us, and they might look at somebody like Brother Curtis, since he's in a position, a prominent position in Swain County to uphold the law. And a lot of people might look at him and say, "Well, he's just persecuting me. He's just ridiculing me. He's just deriding me." And we find that a lot of people do that, but 9 times out of 10, there's a good reason in which he's persecuting them, because they're out there and they're up to mischief. They're out there and they're not doing what's right. Out there breaking the ordinances and the laws of the land. We find that there's probably good reason for them to be in distress. And I want you to realize today and this morning that if you're a born-again, blood-washed child of the Most High God, you don't have anything to fear amongst no matter who might be persecuting you, no matter who might be pursuing you, no matter who might be ridiculing you, no matter who might be harassing you or trying to put you to flight today. I want you to realize that if we are one with Jesus, if we've been born again, if we've been saved by the mercy and the grace of an Almighty God, even in a land of distress, my friend, we can have peace amongst us this morning. There can be comfort in our heart and in our soul. Look what the Bible says. It says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." Those princes also could mean heads in a religious office. As we looked in the Sunday school lesson this morning, as Brother Andy shared with us, how those Jews built a wall upon a wall upon another wall, and they have this rule and this regulation. My friend, we can look around us today and we can see folks that believe in Allah, and they feel like they've got to uphold all these rules and these regulations and these laws, and if they don't do some type of jihad, or if they don't do some type of mission, if they don't do some type of endeavor for those that are over them, then they're going to be persecuted by that religious head. Well, I'm thankful to say today that I'm free in Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful to say today that I've been set free from the moment in which I embraced Christ, from the moment in which that He encountered me in my lost state, in my wickedness, in my defilement. Well, I'm thankful that God redeemed me by His mercy and His grace. I'm glad that Jesus, through the shed blood that He gave upon Calvary, He set me free. And my friend, we need not to fear no man. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that fear man. They're worried about what everybody's thinking about them. We've got young people that started back to school last week, and they're worried about whether their clothes are going to be accepted amongst their peers. They're wondering if their hairstyle is going to be accepted amongst those peers, and especially those of the opposite sex. We've got so much peer pressure put upon our youngins by MTV and VH1 and all this mess. My friend, we see that they're trying to fit in, and they're trying to be this and that. But it don't stop in adolescence, amen. Hey, it proceeds and it goes on. And even in the workplaces today, we've got people that feel like they got to fit in. Hey, I'll tell you, my friend, you can be set free if you're free in Jesus, amen. Hey, the Bible tells us here that in this land of distress, where He says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." Hey, this world's trying to put you to flight. This world's trying to get you to run, trying to get you to get scared. Look what the psalmist says here in verse 161. He says, "But my heart standeth in awe of Thy Word." Hey, I'll tell you what, when you're based upon the foundation of the Word of God, when you got Jesus as your rock, when you got Jesus as your foothold, amen, whenever He's placed His life under your life, and He gave of your blood, His blood, that you might be able to be a partaker in the heavenly, my friend, we can stand firm, no matter what the devil might throw at us, no matter what the world thinks, even in a land of distress, we can stand because we're standing in awe of the Word of God. Hey, we don't need to fear man. We need to stand in reverence of a holy God. You know what's wrong with our world today? It's that a land has not honored God. They've not looked unto Him. They've not respected Him. That word awe that we find there, it speaks of reverence. It speaks of fear. It speaks of dread. Hey, my friend, we need not fear nothing but God Himself. Amen. And I'm telling you what, if you're a saved, born-again child of God, unless you're on the outside of where you're supposed to be, unless you're walking against what God's commanded, unless you're living in sin, my friend, you need not have nothing to fear. We can stand there steadfast, solidly upon the Word of God, even in a land of distress. Look what it says there in 162. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. My friend, we can rejoice in the Word of God today. We can rejoice in the Word in which that tells us of God's love and God's goodness and God's grace. His mercy not giving me what I deserve. But boy, we've been enabled to be a partaker of the goodness and the grace of God. He says, I rejoice even in a land of distress and persecution. My friend, we can raise hands toward God, lifting holy hands toward Him, exulting and rejoicing and displaying our joy before a lost and dying world because we've got something to be happy for today. Amen. Well, I'm glad for what God can do for somebody. Amen. He's the cure. He's the answer. He's the one that this old lost and dying world needs. He's the one you need to cling to in the morning. He's the one you need to pray unto in the evening. He's the one you need to rejoice in during the day. My friend, the Bible tells us here, He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And I tell you what, somebody goes down here to Harris, they go Ingard and they win a million. Don't you know they're going to be shouting it down as they come out the door? Don't you know if you go down here and you scratch off one of them lottery tickets? I don't even know what they are half the time. I ain't never bought one. I don't ever intend on it. Ronnie said he'd buy one for me if I'd scratch it off, but I told him that I just couldn't do that. But we find it, boy, I tell you what, somebody wins a big, big lottery, they're going to be shouting. I'll tell you what, we ought to be recipients this morning of greater joy than anybody that wins a million. I'll be recipients of a greater joy than anybody that might get all kinds of great spoil and great booty. And the Bible says here that as one that findeth great spoil, that spoil there speaks of gain. My friend, I want to tell you that we have received greater still, because of how good that God has been to us than anybody that might be out there in the lost and dying world. Boy, they think they get happy down at the bar. They think they get happy when they get high on drugs and strung out on dope. But I'll tell you what, the greatest joy you can ever have is to know that your soul is saved. Hey, you're signed, sealed, and delivered in the blood of Jesus. Your name's wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life. You're on your highway. And you're on the way to heaven. Just thankful to be alive and thankful for what God has done for us. My friend, we can be living today, even in a land of distress. I believe we can start living today, somebody here, even amongst a lie of deception. Hey, this whole world's deceiving, amen? This world, Satan paints a pretty picture. Amen? Satan paints a pretty picture. But the Bible says here in verse 163, He says, I hate and abhor lying. Falsehood. Deception. That which ultimately brings disappointment. I'll tell you what, they make it look so pretty over yonder in the mountains. Up yonder as they're drinking that bush. And they think, boy, we're going to have a great time. And they make it look good when they're out there on the high seas living up the high life. Boy, they make it look good in the movies when they're smoking that dope and they're snorting that cocaine. And I'll tell you what, the devil, he'll try to paint a pretty picture. He'll say, you can have safe sex and you can do this, you can do that. But I want to tell you what, there's deception, there's disappointment. At the end, there's things that are going to overwhelm you. What we need to realize today is that there is a God that hates and abhors lying. And if we're part of that church, if we're part of the born again, we ought to fall right down there in line with Him and say, yes, I'm going to start living today, even amongst the lie of deception. I'm going to join God's crowd. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say that's a lie. There's no way to have safe drinking. There's no way to drink responsibly. There's no way to do those things. Hey, we need to realize we need to start standing up for what God would have us to stand up for. The Bible says there, He says, I hate and abhor lying. To hate means to dislike. It means to dislike those people, those enemies of the Most High God. To abhor means to regard as an abomination. To loathe that which is deceptive, that which brings disappointment, that which is falsehood. And he says there in verse 163, he says, "But thy law do I love." My friend, you can't love the Word of God and love the world too. You can't love the Word of God and love the things of the world too. Hey, you can't say that you love Jesus and love the pleasures and the rudiments of this old world too. Hey, they just don't go together. They just don't coincide. Hey, my friend, we need to realize that if we're going to start living and start living for the Lord Jesus, we have got to be people that are going to say, even in a land in which that there is a lie of deception, I'm going to love the Word of God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to soak up the law. I'm going to soak up the instruction of God. I'm going to soak up the direction of God because He's been so kind and so good unto me. My friend, we've got a land in which that they've laid their Bibles down. They put their Bible on a bookshelf. They shove it in the up and underneath the seat, throw it in the trunk, drag it out on Sunday so they look good as they go to church. My friend, God didn't intend for it to be that way. He intended for us to love the Word of God and to absorb the Word of God and to tend to the Word of God, that the Word of God might tend unto us, and that we could realize that there's a God that wants to embrace us and calls us to enjoy this life in which we live. The Bible tells us here, He says, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." He says in verse 164, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, he's reading the Word of God because he loves God. He's reading the Word of God because he's not told to and made to and instructed to do so. Now, we find in the days of Daniel that Daniel prayed three times a day. He prayed in the morning, he prayed in the evening, he prayed at noontime. We find that he prayed. And I'll tell you what, somebody that loves God is going to go above and beyond what's required of them. Amen. Hey, I believe that ought to be a requirement as a member of East Florida Baptist Church that every time we're able, every time that we are enabled to physically, when we don't have no other hindrances, that we be in God's house, that we attend to the assembly of the people of God. I believe that every day we ought to study God's Word. Sometime during the day, you ought to study the Word of God. I believe you ought to pray unto God. I believe you ought to look unto God for direction and wisdom and instruction in life. Hey, you ought to know why you go through times of depression and times of doubt. Want to go know why you go through times in which you feel like God's far away? It's because you might be far away from Him because you've not been reading and studying the way that you ought to. Hey, the psalmist says seven times a day. That's a number of perfection. It's a sign. It's the cardinal number. It's the ordinal number. It's describing that this psalmist is going above and beyond what might be required of him because he's received the greatest gift that anybody could receive. I want you to realize this morning you could be destined toward a devil's hell today. If you've never been born again, you're separated from God. And the end result's going to be death. And there's a death in a miserable place called hell. But boy, I'm thankful for the grace and the gift of God that by Jesus Christ we can be set free. That by believing and trusting in Jesus, we can be born again. We can receive life and life more abundantly. We can have joy and happiness and peace in our heart. If we look in the Word of God, study the Word of God, embrace the Word of God, which gives us the Son of God. Hey, the Bible says here, seven times a day do I praise Thee. Hey, he's exulting in Christ. He's worshiping Christ. That which only we can do because we're boasting in Him because He's done such great wonderful things unto us. Hey, the Bible says there, "I do praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." God always does what's right. Amen? God always does what that is right. That which is righteous, that which is just, that which is right, that which is normal in God's eyes. Not what's normal according to the world, but that which is normal and just and right in the eyes of God. He makes the righteous judgment. He's the one that decides the time of decision. He's the one that brings about the time of judgment. He's the one that brings forth the time of execution. My friend, God's always doing what's right. So, my friend, we can start living in a land of distress amongst a lie of deception and with a lesson in dissension.
I believe there's great hope that we find here in the Word of God today, that even amongst a place of dissension, that dissension speaks of a time of depression. It speaks of a land in which people have no contentment. It speaks of this place in which we live, of America, in which everybody's trying to get more and gain more. Oh, they want a bigger house. They want a bigger boat. Ain't satisfied with what they got. Hey, I'll tell you what, if you got Jesus, you can be satisfied. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse 165, He says, great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, I'll tell you what, we have great peace this morning. That grace speaks of much. It speaks of many. It speaks of the abundance of the peace of God. And I'll tell you what, when you got the peace of God, you have enough peace. Amen. There's a lot of people say, I got discontentment. I got disillusion. I've got something going on in my heart. I'm depressed, preacher. And I know there's things that are termed clinical depression. I know there's things that go above and beyond what I can comprehend in my mind. But I'll tell you what, there's peace when you love God. There's peace when you read His Word. There's peace when you listen to the Spirit. There's peace when you walk with Jesus. My friend, the Bible says, great peace have they which what? Which love Thy law. And the Bible says, and nothing shall offend them. Well, I'll tell you what, you got so many preachers today that are more satisfied with saving their career. Got more preachers today that are more satisfied with earning a paycheck. Got more preachers today that are more satisfied about fitting in and keeping the ties up and keeping the giving right. Got more people today that play politics within the side of the walls of a church as opposed to standing up upon the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, if I'm standing in this pulpit and I'm preaching this Word and I'm staying in the book, my friend, there's no need for you, if you're a born-again, blood-washed child of God, to get offended by anything that's said. Hey, if it's God's Word, it's not me speaking, but it's God speaking through me, that you might be able to hear what God might have for your will, for what His will is for your life. Amen. Hey, that offending right there, that it's talking about, speaks of a stumbling block. It speaks of a means or occasion of stumbling. Well, somebody will take something that somebody else said, and they'll say, well, I'm not going to go back to that church no more because so-and-so offended me. They said something that hurt my feelings. They didn't like my shoes because it didn't match my dress. They didn't like me because they didn't part my hair on the right side. They didn't like me because I drove a Chevrolet. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks that get offended over stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans in the eternal kingdom of God. So what I tell you to do is just put on your big girl britches, just put on your big boy britches, dust your shoulders off, and just get your eyes upon Jesus and start living for Him. Amen. Amen. There's a lesson in dissension here. Hey, the Bible says there, even in a place of discontent, He says, great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. He says, Lord Jehovah, God Almighty, Yahweh, Lord, I have hope for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My friend, I'll tell you what, there is an overwhelming contentment when you have Jesus in your heart. Amen. Hey, you don't worry about what tomorrow holds. You, in our flesh we do. But when we're saturated in Jesus, when we're saturated in the Word of God, when our focus is upon what God's ultimate direction and plan and purpose is for our life, my friend, there's peace when you're in Jesus' hands. He says there in verse number 166, He says, I've hoped, I've placed my trust, I have believed, I'm waiting for, I'm looking forward to the day in which God fully comes and delivers us, the day in which victory is laid out for us. Hey, I'm waiting for that day of rapture. I'm looking for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a blessed hope, amen. That's awaiting His arrival. Hey, the Bible says there in verse 166, He says, Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. There's a lot of people who don't have peace in their heart today because they cannot say that. God's worked in their heart. God's convicted their soul. God's spoken to them through the written Word. God's spoken to them through the preached Word. God's spoken to them through the kind gesture of a loving friend. God spoke to them somehow, some way, but they've rejected God's purpose and plan for their life to be saved. Hey, I'll tell you what, they've just rejected Him. And there's no peace for you if you don't know Christ. There's no peace for you if you're not walking with Him. There's no peace for you if you're not drawing nigh thy His precious side. Hey, the Bible says there, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Let me ask you, have you learned a lesson in dissension? Have you learned a lesson in discontentment? Hey, you might think all these things that you work for during the week is going to bring you happiness and peace and joy. But I'll tell you what, ultimately, the only thing that's going to bring you peace and joy is to know Jesus and to know that He knows you and to know you're saved and going to go to heaven one day and that you have a life, abundant life inside of you right now through the working of the Holy Spirit. Hey, to do means to attend to acquire the commandments of God. Are you doing what God's bid you to do? Have you acknowledged what God has entrusted unto you? And you've obligated yourself to fulfilling that in which God has asked you to do. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, there's peace. Now, whenever I don't do what God wants me to do, He takes me to the woodshed. He wears me out. He gets my attention. Amen? Sometimes that's what we have to do with our young ones. We have to get their attention. And I'll tell you what, God's a good hand at getting attention. And my friend, I don't know. I hope He don't have to get your attention. I hope that we as a church unified do what God wants us to do. I hope you as a family collectively do what God wants you to do. I hope you as a man of God or a woman of God, children of God, do what God is bidding you to do. Hey, there's a lesson here to be learned in dissension. Hey, if you want to start living, you can start living even in a land of distress amongst a lie of deception, with a lesson in dissension against a life of disobedience. I'll tell you what, God just wants you to walk in humble adoration of Him. God just wants you to be obedient unto Him. Look what the Bible says. Verse 167 says, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies." Can you say that this morning? Can you say that you've kept the testimony of God? The testimony is that witness of the divine ordinance within the Word of God. It's God's instruction telling us how we should live, how we should conduct, what we should do. Have we done that this morning? That soul speaks of a breathing substance. It speaks of a living being. And the only way that you can have a living being is if the life is in the blood. And I want to ask you this morning, are you consecrated in Christ? Are you living for Jesus? Are you walking in obedience unto Him? Hey, there's a lesson here to be taught against a life of disobedience. And it says there, if we're going to overcome the devil, if we're going to overcome the world, if we're going to overcome the flesh, my friend, we've got to allow our soul to keep the testimonies of God. Hedge them about. Protect them. Preserve them. Guard this precious book amongst your family and amongst your mind. Hey, we need to learn the Word of God. Need to embrace it and saturate it and soak it up that we might be able to have victory. He says there in verse 167, He says, "I love them exceedingly." Hey, you'll have victory in life if you love the Word of God. How much, preacher? Exceedingly. Exceedingly means muchness. It means force. It means abundance. It means to a great degree. I'll tell you what, y'all love God's Word as much or more than you love your wife. Y'all love God's Word as much or more than you love your children. I love God's Word as much or more than you do your spouse, husband. Hey, y'all love God's Word as much or more than you do anything in this world. There's a lot of people love their deer hunt and their NASCAR more than they love Jesus. And my friend, you'll never start living unless you allow Jesus to be number one. The Bible says there, "I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies." I've kept those things that have been prescribed unto me. Those things that are due unto God. He says, "I've kept them and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Now, I want you to ask yourself something this morning. You can sit in that pew and you can lie to yourself. You can sit in that pew and you can lie to your spouse. You can sit in that pew and you can lie to your neighbor this morning and say, "Everything's all right with me, preacher." But I'll tell you what, you will not lie to a holy God. Look what the Bible says. He says, "For all my ways are before thee." All my manners, all my habits, all those things I do, the course of my life is an open book before God Almighty. And I'll tell you what, me and my wife, we talk about a lot of things. But there's some things that go on in my mind that she might not know about. Some things go on in your mind that others don't know about. I'll tell you what, God knows about them. Amen. God knows exactly where I'm at in my walk, where I'm at in my life. God knows where you're at. Are you ready to start living this morning? Or you want to just keep on walking that same old dull path? Keep on walking that same old humdrum course. Just keep on walking in the mully grubs. Just keep on walking in a life of defeat and a life of disobedience. Keep on living the life in which you got. Or do you want to have that life as Jesus spoke about? Life more abundantly. Somebody here this morning might need to be saved. The only way you're going to have peace in your heart is to trust in Jesus. Hey, He's convicted you. He's convinced you that you're in need of Him. And now it's time for you to act upon faith and walk the aisle and trust in Christ and humble yourself and give yourself to Him. And my friend, He'll bring about conversion within you. But only you can do that. Hey, there's somebody here this morning, you're saved, but you're not where you ought to be for Jesus. God wants to do a work in your heart. Would you come today? Every head bowed and every eye closed.